asylum. For a terrifying new tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Live at AsylumFantasySports.com, it's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
We are Flager and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. Shoot us an email at AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
Something that hasn't changed on Twitter, at Asylum Football.
That's right, and going worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Give them a follow at THEAFRN.
And check them out on Facebook, facebook.com/armedforcesradionetwork.co. Check them out there. Let them know you're here in the asylum.
That's right. And check us out on Facebook as well, Asylum Fantasy Sports.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. We're on the Facebook now.
Yes, indeed.
So give us a big old thumbs up. I think that's what you do, right?
Yeah, like.
You can also poke. I've heard there's poking. I don't know if that's good or bad, but you can poke.
I don't know.
And you can do a pillow fight. I don't understand
all
that
I know
one either. But I think
it's like, and that's all I know.
Yeah, well, give us a poke and a pillow fight, too. That sounds pretty good.
Sure.
So, Rick, week 8, bye week purgatory, finally in the books.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, there were some surprising games out there, quite frankly. Everything told us to take Arizona at home.
Yeah, didn't have the guts to do it.
We jumped off the plank, took the Cardinals, and Arizona torched them.
Yeah, absolutely. Impressive game. Some wild games. We'll get into that in our game balls and smelly socks. A few injuries of note, a few headlines we want to get into, Rick. So, I don't know. I didn't have any injuries. That seems to be your big thing. So, why don't you break those down?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of injuries. Just, I mean, I did see that Sidney Rice suffered a concussion last night and a knee injury. And I guess preliminary results is torn ACL. So
another
ACL. He's done.
Yeah, another ACL. What a mess. I don't know if you're playing Sidney Rice, if you own Sidney Rice, but if you do, mercifully, his season comes to an end. Boy, the ACL injuries have just been terrible, Rick.
Well, you go back to the comments made by Merriweather about not being able to go high. He basically said, well, you just have to take out your knees and tear ACLs and end careers.
You know, that's the first story I had, Rick, I wanted to talk about. So that's a good segue. That's what we call it in the business, Rick, a segue.
Yeah.
I want to get into that. Purely coincidental, I'm certain.
That's not like Amway or anything, is it?
I don't think. What's that thing? That's that pyramid scheme. We ought to get in on one of them, an Asylum Fantasy Football pyramid scheme. Make a few shekels at this.
Sure.
I don't know what we sell, what we run up the pyramid, but by God, I want to be at the top of it, however that works.
Well,
but
we can start in, we were talking about starting an IPO.
Yeah.
We can just start our own IPO and send us some money.
Yeah, Fool's Gold Inc. is what we'll call it.
Go.
So, Rick, back to Brandon Merriweather. You had it pretty much the quote dead on. To be honest, man, you've just got to go low now, man. That's a lot of mans in one sentence,
first of all.
You've got to end people's careers, you know. You've got to tear people's ACLs and mess up people's knees now. You can't hit them high no more. You just got to go low. So, all right, I'm struggling with this, Rick. The sentiment is right. It's coming from the wrong dude. That's the problem. You know, Brandon Merriweather is going out there headhunting, pure and simple. He's an absolute headhunter. Secondarily, these ACL injuries are up, but as I look back on them, Rick, most of them aren't coming off of hits. Reggie Wayne just tore it standing by himself. Sidney Rice last night just standing there alone. These are just happening. I almost think it's purely coincidental. And while I agree and I have issue with, there was a couple calls in last night's game, Rick, just awful.
True.
Defenseless receiver calls. It's going too far.
Of course.
So I understand Merriweather's sentiment, but for coming from this guy, this clown ought to be out of the league at this point.
I agree 100%. And, you know, of all the people that you talk about defensively in the last few years, in this year, you know, be it the Ed Reed, be it Revis Island, Patrick Peterson, You never see these guys involved in the headshots and complaining that they got to tear people's legs out and,
yeah,
and
exactly.
careers, and they're doing their job just fine.
And when you're sitting there on a one-game suspension and why they reduced it from 2-1 is completely beyond me, the track record this guy has and why I think Lord Goodell goes way too far with this stuff. A guy like Brandon Merriweather, when you talk about intent to injure, that's what this guy's trying to do. When you launch yourself helmet first, when you knock yourself out cold while trying to kill your opponent,
yeah.
you don't have a lot of credibility making the argument that you can't hit high and, oh, poor me, poor me. In my opinion, he should be out of the league. And the fun part of this story, apparently that was Brandon Marshall's opinion too, Rick.
Yeah.
Did you hear this?
Oh, yes.
And Merriweather had a response to that, I don't know if you heard it, where he says, he feel like I needed to be kicked out of the league. I think that was a question.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I feel like people who beat their girlfriend should be kicked out too.
Yeah.
You tell me who you'd rather have, somebody who play aggressive on the field or somebody who beat up their girlfriend. First of all, a fantastic sentence if I've ever read one, number one.
Great quote.
And I do like that, a little back and forth. Brandon Marshall popping off. Not the best guy in the world to be popping off. However, in the context of football, in the context of a receiver, and we saw Marshall get blowed up real good 2 weeks ago, I can see the sentiment from a wide receiver.
Well, yeah. And, you know, look, Brandon Marshall has some baggage, too. There's no doubt about it. But I don't know how to – I know what my feeling is on Merriweather, and, you know, I'm not going to take sides. I mean, look, Brandon Marsh is my favorite receiver.
He
maybe.
Is. You have a bit of a man crush on
him. Well, it's fantasy-related, obviously, but what else is there? And, you know, a headhunter to me, just that's all he is. He's not trying to make clean hits, and he's getting victimized by it.
Right, exactly.
So I have no sympathy for him, and he can say what he wants.
Yeah. All right, Rick, I got a few more headlines, but before we move on, we are joined on the hotline, if it were, by our boy Jersey. Jersey, what's going on tonight?
Hey, man, not too bad. A couple quick questions, if you don't mind. What's that running back situation in my PPR league? 10-point rushing touchdown. I'm playing junior. I'm 7-1. He's 6-2. Different division, so it doesn't matter who wins. But I'm looking forward. I got Peterson that I go with. I got Tate, not sure if he's going to play. Bell's out on a bye, Murray, don't know what's going on, and I have Randall. Now, what I'm thinking about, you have Vrain is available and also Andre Brown going forward. I'm going to make the playoffs. We'll start week 14. Do I drop Randall and pick up either Brown or Vrain this week to have? Because supposedly Brown will be back next week, and then Vrain week 11. We start playoffs week 14. What's your feeling, guys?
I'll tell you what, I'd like to have both of them. You obviously don't have the room to drop. I would certainly make that move. I got to think if Murray gets back healthy. I think Andre Brown probably – you have such a mess in New England right now, and I know Vereen's going to play a different role, but they're starting to get Ridley back involved. You know, I plan to talk about that a little later on. Peyton Hill has got, I think, 17 carries last week. So I think you get a guy like Andre Brown back, if he's healthy, he can work himself back into that offense. He's a guy I definitely like to grab and stash, to your point, for a playoff run.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I'm thinking about doing, is trying to, you know, I mean, because Randall's just not cutting it. I mean, he gave me like 11 the week before. I got 6 the week. Yeah, I won. I put up 170 points. That's because Stafford went off and a couple of my other guys. But the bottom line is, like you said, is I'm looking ahead, and there's really not much worthwhile that could help me this week. I mean, yeah, Tolbert's there, but you got Stewart coming back, and you have some other situations, you know what I mean? So that's what I figured. Let me ask you guys. Now, I also have Gordon. I usually go with Pierre Garçon, and I didn't see Gordon this week. And, of course, Gordon has a good week, more than Garçon. It's like every other week. Now, my question is, and I always go A.J. Green, but I only start two receivers. Do I get rid of, like, a Gordon for, like, a Le'Veon Bell of Pittsburgh, trying to make a trade? Or do you just sit tight and keep my three receivers that I have, which are all different bye weeks, Josh Gordon? I can never seem sometimes pick the right guy between Gordon and Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, that's tough. I think, by and large, it's starting to pan out against that defense last week that he played with Jason Campbell, a quarterback. The numbers up, Rick. I don't think you ever sit Josh Gordon. Garçon has been more of a disappointment to me. You had one down week with Gordon, but since he's come back, Rick, last week was the norm for him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost
quarterback scared me. Yeah,
it scares you, but then again, you know, you basically have Campbell or Whedon, and
yeah.
Campbell certainly seems to be a much more dynamic player, I mean, at least after one outing, let's put it that way. And
right.
Gordon still put up numbers. To Rick's point, boy, I tell you what, to get a Le'Veon Bell, I wouldn't give up Gordon for that in your situation. I may think about Garcon. Look, I mean, you know, RG3 played Denver at 132 yards passing. There's something wrong with that offense as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And, you know, to me, he's...
And I got Reed as my tight end. I picked him up. He gave me 17 points. But finally, I cut him. So I don't want to have too many, like you said, a tight end and receiver out there, but I thought it would be good. Because this guy has Le'Veon Bell. He has his Forte, and he also has Washington's running back. The good
Morris?
One, the starter, whatever his name is.
Alfred Morris.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get Forte, but, I mean, maybe I could target one of those guys for...
And maybe you could package up somebody with Garcon. I wouldn't let Josh Gordon go. If they get this quarterback situation worked out, even if they don't, I think last week is the norm for that kid. The kid is matchup proof. He's obviously quarterback proof. It doesn't matter. Yeah, he had that bad week before this week, but otherwise these are the numbers he's been putting out. He's the number one option there. It seems since Hoyer went out, Cameron has been less and less of a focal point on the offense, and Gordon's getting more looks. So I think every week you're starting Gordon over Garcon, and you know if you can work Garcon into a deal to get – I love getting a Le'Veon Bell, but I wouldn't give up the likes of Josh Gordon for him.
Okay. I appreciate it very much, guys. I appreciate the input. Hopefully I go 8-1, or either Junior beats me or I beat Junior. One or two.
Take you
down. Thanks again for the help. We appreciate it. I got to take him down, right? Guys, I appreciate it.
We'll talk
to you. Have a good night.
All right, Rick, that ties right into my next story. Pierre Garcon, some comments on the Redskins' offense. He says, we've had trouble passing all year, and to tell you the truth, what do you think, he asked reporters after the game. I can only run the routes, try to make separation. That's the only thing I can really do. Doesn't matter who you're playing. If you suck at passing, you suck at passing. We've just got to figure it out. Now, he cleared up later on Twitter, where everybody clears up things later, that he wasn't talking about RG3. It was more of a system issue, but I think there may be a little discord in Washington right now.
Well, yeah, I think so. They got to be frustrated. Their defense isn't any good, and the offense really carried them last year, and it's not doing it this year. Alfred Morris is certainly not having a 1,600-yard season like he did last year. And, you know, RG3 certainly isn't RG3. Garcon, to his point, yeah, I mean, you can run the routes and so forth, but RG3 brings to mind a lot of different quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger, for one, this, that, and the other, much more athletic, but makes plays extend. Well, Hines Ward gets open.
Right.
He didn't just run a route. I mean, he comes back. They had good chemistry. That's certainly missing between those guys. And yeah, maybe it's to RG3's youth. Could be. I mean, he's only in his second year, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's probably system-wide, Shanahanigans.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? There's all kinds of things going on in Washington.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said for, I don't believe it was a direct shot at RG3. But, look, RG3 isn't without blame. And what you wonder if what's going on, I actually got to watch a little bit of that game as the Steeler game became unwatchable pretty early on.
And
as
they still
should have
won.
Yeah. A whole different set of circumstances there. But RG3 doesn't look comfortable. And you wonder, you're coming off of this ACL, you always have guys down around your feet. And I wonder if he's nervous there. He's not making the throws. Look, that was a bad Denver defense that just completely shut him down. I understand Garcon's frustration. Anybody in that offense is frustration. I think it's not the same RG3 we saw. He's a little more reticent to take off with the ball, number one. He's missing his throws, and I think this is what happens when you come off of a devastating leg injury like that, and you got people crawling around your legs. Carson Palmer was never the same after he got his leg blown up in that playoff game against the Steelers. He to this day isn't the same quarterback. They get a little bit of the happy feet. They miss some of these throws under pressure. And I think that's what you're seeing with RG3. And as a young guy, it's going to may take him longer if he ever completely comes back from that.
Yeah, I agree. And going on Jersey's point there, he just happened to bring up Jordan Reed. who's becoming the guy, RG3, right, depending on, because it's a short, safe
get
route.
Get rid of it quick. Exactly. You don't have to stand in there. You don't have to take the hit. You don't have to scramble around. Look, again, I don't want to compare myself to these world-class athletes. I've had this knee injury. I'm still on the comeback trail. I'm afraid to walk downstairs to this day, let alone having six 300-pound men trying to take me out at the knees. You can understand it. It's a mental thing.
Exactly.
We've seen it. Obviously, he has the physical tools. Why isn't it happening? He's still got the same weapons in Pierre Garçon, a healthy Pierre Garçon. He's got the same weapons. I think this stuff is in his head, and I can't say I blame him.
I can't either. And everybody's different. Everybody's not Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles.
Right.
And to your point, granted, you aren't a world-class athlete, but then again, you're not running from world-class athletes.
That's
either.
Exactly.
You're going up and down stairs and doing normal workout in the yard and this, that, and the other, and it still is in the back of your
always
head.
In the...
Should I pick this log up? Should I, you know, move these blocks or something around? You know, that kind of thing. And it's something totally different. Maybe some guys never get past
right.
it. Maybe it'll just take a full year for them to. We'll just have to keep watching them. And, yeah, to your point, watching a game like this was much more enjoyable and educational than watching the Pittsburgh-Oakland game because, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, but it is. It is so horrid to watch this line.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Can't hold back anybody. Cannot do. It is the most inept offensive line in football, and I'm putting them against Jacksonville, and I'm putting them against Tampa Bay. They are gruesome.
And what it is, they are so bad, sort of tying it into the RG3 thing, but take out the injuries. Ben Roethlisberger is so used to running for his life.
That's all
that
he does.
Now when he's not, he's missing wide open throws. He's got the happy feet when he has time because it's such a foreign concept for him to have time to hit his back foot and make a throw.
He can't do it.
And he's got the physical tools to do it, and he's got the mental aptitude to do it, and he's done it several times and won two Super Bowls doing it. I think it gets to the point you get so used to hitting your back foot and having to take off and look downfield. He is missing wide open throws.
Sure, yes,
it is unbearable to watch.
It's terrible. It's just horrifying, and I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the guy's throwing 45 times a game, and he's scoring 12 to 15 fantasy points.
Just awful, and we'll get into that later in the game, Balls and Socks. Last story I have, Rick, just something fun. Pac-Man Jones always amuses me, and I don't know if you saw this story, but apparently felt that Mr. David Nelson was playing a little too rough with him last week, and apparently told one Mr. Nelson, "I'm going to find out where you live and come and get you." Now, I enjoy that. Not only saying I'm going to beat you down right here, but saying I'm going to find out where you live, and I'm going to show up in your porch, and I'm going to beat you down, and I really enjoy that. And then when asked about it later, he says, he cut me like four times after the play, and here's the line that tells you everything you need to know about Pac-Man Jones, and I like hearing my NFL stars say this. Thank God I took my medicine today. So apparently for all of his – how angry would he have been if he wasn't on a handful of the Mr. Happies, if this was his reaction during which? I had never heard an athlete say that before.
Our boy Pac-Man. That's
never get
man.
Enough Pac-Man.
No, I hope he has a long career because he's always good for a headline.
Always something. And say, I can guarantee you, if he forgets that medicine, within 3 days we'll get to play the Wapner music as he backhands some poor woman outside of a nightclub in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. I can't hardly wait for that. Hey, we are Fleeger and Briggs. This is the Asylum Fantasy Football Show. Drop us a line at asylumfantasysports@gmail.com and follow the Armed Forces Radio Network at the AFRN. And we are worldwide on that network.
And happy to be there. So, Rick, I don't know whether you got any more headlines or
I have a little bit of a rant or a prescription or however you want to put it. I put it up on the website. I just named it Doctor's Orders. I just threw it together. And just there's just some...
I got to start looking at our website.
Some
I was unaware this
just,
existed.
Some people that really irritate
me. Oh, good. This is when you're at your best, when you're angry.
Really, I mean, you know, if your team – we're through week eight, and we've had bye weeks and injuries and so forth, you know, and if your team is on life support and you've been inserting any of these guys week after week into your lineup, it's time to pull the plug and flatline these guys. And I tell you, here's a few of them right here. Carson Palmer.
Yeah, done.
All right? He's averaging 12 fantasy points a game. He has 10 touchdowns as opposed to 14 picks. Talk about a guy running for his life.
A stat line Eli Manning would be jealous of.
And they're just coming off a wonderful victory.
Yeah.
Okay?
This is how he plays when things are going well.
All right. Tom Brady should be stacked on your bench.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, we're going to get into him.
He is under 14 points a game, and he is behind quarterbacks in fantasy points. Such notable stars as Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Mike Vick, and Alex Smith. Okay?
Hey, before you move on with that, I'm going to cut you off. How in God's creation do the New England Patriots continue to win football games? This is blowing my mind.
They know to win.
I guess, but
they
boy.
Know how to win, and that's just as simple as that.
Is this team going to be relevant? They're obviously going to make the playoffs in that division. Are they going to be relevant in the playoffs going forward if Tom Brady doesn't get it going again?
They're going to be relevant simply because they are New England. And I mean, I know it sounds cliche-ish, but they know how to win. Dallas is a better team, but they do not know how to win.
Yeah, that's very true. They can't. Tony Romo doesn't know how to finish a game.
Exactly. And, you know, but like I said, Brady – don't dump him. Maybe not pull the plug, but certainly just sit him off on a shelf somewhere.
You're not dropping him, but I think you're sitting him over a lot of guys.
Yeah, speaking of pulling the plug, Trent Richardson, averaging 8.4 fantasy points a game with 333 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. He has 9 receptions for 70 yards, and this is a top 5.
Yeah.
To top 7.
7
first
was
round
the lowest
pick.
I ever saw him go.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, okay, now let's look into it. Let's look to next year. This year, obviously, you're putting them on the shelf. You're pulling the plug, as you said. And I'm good with that. I agree 100%. Let's look ahead to next year. Is the problem with Trent Richardson a Trent Richardson problem? Or was it this trade and moving to Indianapolis? And you would think it would be basic enough, but I don't know. I've certainly never played football at that level. Is it that hard to pick up a new offense that he's going to have these struggles? And is he going to be the Trent Richardson we saw last year, next year? That's what I wonder. I think we're going to have a lot of debate on that over the summer, and we might as well get it started now.
Let me put this one point to you, okay? He has 9 receptions this year, okay? I think Peyton Hillis has 9 receptions already. With New York. He's played 2 games.
That's fair. Okay. That's what I'm getting at.
I mean, I don't think it's that difficult. I mean, they can put in basic plays. You chip a linebacker, go out in the flat, I toss you the ball. I hand off, you go north and south.
Right.
There's something with Trent Richardson, whether he's not very adaptable, maybe there's something Cleveland saw that we just don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't have any idea.
It never did make sense and came out of the blue. Maybe there was something there. Is he hurt? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting summer. That guy's going to be an interesting name.
I don't know.
Well, there you go. All right.
Okay,
fair
nobody
enough.
Does. All right, moving right along. C.J. Spiller, a first-rounder.
Oh,
he's banged up. He has 362 rushing yards, 1 touchdown. He only has 14 receptions. Fred Jackson's getting the lion's share of the work and is more effective to boot. Spiller is trailing notable running backs.
Oh, more notables, yes. All right.
As Chris Obanaya, formerly known
boogly.
As Oogly Boogly, Roy Helu, and Mike Tolbert.
Mike Tolbert, yeah, that's a shame there for our friend Mr. Spiller.
Yeah, it's.
Am I a bad person, Rick? Let me finish before
you
answer that. If you remember, we've referenced it a couple times. It was probably some of the most harsh feedback we've gotten, and we've got some harsh feedback. Most of it deserved. But the gentleman who declared that he would never listen to this rinky-dink operation again because of our concerns about C.J. Spiller coming into the year,
and
the
Fred Jackson
effect and how we felt about it. I just want to say one more time, even if this makes me a bad person, and I'll drop it from here on out. Sir, how you like me now? All right, move on.
All right, and moving, you know, I've covered quarterbacks and running backs. There's a couple guys, other guys I want the plug pulled on. Wide receivers, Marquise Colston. He's averaging less than 9 fantasy points a game. He only has 1 touchdown, and that was in week 1. He has been under 20 yards receiving 3 games in a row. Now, this is a guy that has Drew Brees throwing to you in one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL. 5 touchdowns this past week. He had 3 catches for like 30 yards.
You think
or 18 yards, excuse me.
You'd think a man of reasonable NFL skill, which Marquise Colston is, could accidentally get 6 for 50 in that offense. How does this keep happening?
I don't know. He had 10 targets this past game. 3 catches for 18 yards. It's terrible.
And I can't imagine Drew Brees missed him 7 times.
Not that badly, I wouldn't think. Maybe he's getting some tough coverage, but, I mean, you know, we've seen – Marquise Colson make some tough catches over the years, it's time to pull
and
the plug on your
lineup. And I think that may be the difference. He's not making those tough catches. Because he's kind of, he was kind of that garbage guy. They had Meacham and seven guys named Stan you never heard of before or after sort of working the outside, and he sort of was the guy who did the dirty work underneath, and that's why, especially in a PPR format, he was so valuable because he'd get a lot of grabs. He wasn't always the yardage guy,
right,
but he was getting the ball in the end zone. He was getting the catches over the middle. Those don't seem to be there. He doesn't seem to be able to get those dirty catches, those dirty yards that he's gotten in the past.
Exactly. And finally, pull the plug. I mean, flatline Miles Austin.
Ugh.
He has missed three games already with this perennial hamstring injury. He is under 20 receptions for the year, and he is behind in fantasy points.
Oh, more notables.
Such notables as Earl Bennett, Ace Sanders, and Cole Beasley.
Who's Ace Sanders?
Jacksonville.
Never heard the name before.
Well, you just have. He has more fantasy points than Miles Austin.
I may have more fantasy points than Miles Austin.
I know I do. I have more recommended starts.
Well, certainly you are. You are now officially in the machine, or at least I hope so, as Scott has promised. Well, I don't think he promised it, but we're going to treat it that way.
Hey, let's switch gears just for a minute.
Okay.
NHL has started.
Yes.
And
yes.
Talk
I'm
about
a
whole,
fan of the hockey.
Yes. Talk about you know, wholesale fire sales. Buffalo Sabres. They
yeah.
are tearing it down and starting again. And I don't know if you heard the deal, but they traded Thomas Vanek from Buffalo to New York. For I tell you what, I still think that they paid too much about it. You know, they got what was it, a first round pick in 14,
yeah,
a second round pick in 15, and then of course they and Molson, excuse
yeah.
me, yeah, that was a missing piece. Yeah, they already gave up
who
Molson.
Who scored two goals in his Buffalo debut last night?
Yes, he did.
I got to tell you, Rick, that to me rings of the mutual beneficial deal. The New York Islanders, Rick, I think are good enough to win now.
Yeah.
They've got the goaltending. They've got Tavares. They've got a solid lineup out there. You bring a guy like Vanek in, a proven scorer, a proven winner in the NHL. So they're building to win now, and I think they're capable of it. And Vanek's going to be a big piece to move them towards the top of that conference. Well, you look at Buffalo, it's coming undone. Ryan Miller's getting old, and it's not going well. Buffalo's really bad, so now you start building for the future. Molson's a nice little piece to build around. You get a couple of extra picks, assuming they're going to have a high pick going into next year.
Sure,
I like what they're doing.
Let's not forget the picks that they got for Palmerville
right.
earlier.
Yeah, so I think I like the moves they're making. They're building for the future, making the right moves. And while I think it hurts the Islanders long term, that team is built to win right now. So you get a piece like Vanek in, I say good move.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's, like you said, I think it's beneficial for the Islanders and Buffalo. There's no question about that.
And Thomas Vanek in that offense, I like him from a fantasy hockey perspective, which we're going to start trying to sprinkle into this show more, especially once football season comes to an end. Well, let's swing it back, Rick. I'm sure everybody was thrilled by the hockey talk, the hockey segment there, but let's swing it back to fantasy football and give out our game balls and our smelly socks for the week.
Oh, we have to, before we do that, we have to visit the islands at the machine and so forth.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's full disclosure time here on the Asylum.
That many islands. However, the machine put himself on Michael Vick Island.
Yeah. Whoops.
It was a whoops, but we were on Eli Manning, and he wasn't all that impressive.
No, I'm not going to tear my shoulder, pat myself on the back for picking Eli Manning in that matchup.
No, I can't go there. But the machine put himself on Zach Stacy Island, who did in his own rank.
Yeah, congratulations, machine.
Yeah. But to defend ourselves, we had the highest scoring running back over Stacy in Andre Ellington, which
yeah.
machine dissed. So
that's
I
true.
Will take it a victory for
right.
us.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Machine can't argue, so let's do it.
That's true.
Stick it in your ear, machine.
Of course, he killed us on Kaepernick Island because
yeah.
Kaepernick certainly outscored Michael Vick. And that's about all the islands there was. It was pretty well evened out over the week. Well, the machine did take Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, that weather never hit. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about that weather on Sunday, and it never found its way.
But it was – we took Hakeem Nicks. He had 7 for 51. Boldin had 4 for 56.
Yeah, so –
yeah, it was a minor,
fair enough,
minor
yeah.
win there, but big deal. Other than that, I was not on an island. You were not on an island. And – I guess that's about it.
We were very agreeable on Sunday. It was a big love fest here.
Yeah,
between,
the machine really. No, the between, machine was on the Jeremy Curley Island, and we had Emmanuel Sanders dusted him.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take nice, that win. Nice game out of Manny Sanders.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Seven receptions for 88 yards and a touchdown. So that was.
I think if the Steelers are going to continue to be this bad, Emmanuel Sanders is a guy I think you start talking about as a legitimate wide receiver three, I think. I think he's starting to work himself to that level. I don't know if that's real high praise, but I think he's starting to work to that level as they're playing from behind and throwing, you said it earlier, 45 times a game as they're doing. Emmanuel Sanders starting to become viable in deeper fantasy leagues.
Yeah, he is. There's no question about that. I mean, you can take five, six catches for, you know, anywhere between 50 and, say, 85 to 90 yards any day.
And if he finds the end zone, which he's done a couple of times recently, this is a guy I'd be comfortable with. If you get that type of production out of your wide receiver three, I think you're doing pretty well for yourself.
Yeah, I do too. We are Fligger and Briggs on the Asylum Fantasy Football Show, and we are moving into the Game Balls and Stinky Socks segment, and we want to thank Jim Struble for sending all those stinky socks in an old
mildewed
duffel bag that he sent them in, and boy, we appreciate them.
I don't know who's doing your laundry, Jim, but I'm sorry. All right, Rick, I'm going to start this show with a game ball because I don't want to think about Jim's socks.
You're
going
to be the
moment.
Beacon of positivity.
I will. That is me. You can see the light shining from me right now because I'm such a happy guy, especially today.
Yeah.
But, Rick, I got to give a game. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I like
it. Game ball, first and foremost. There's going to be a lot of talk about Calvin Johnson. It's almost too obvious. I want to give a game ball to Matt Stafford. And I'll give you a game ball for picking, having the guts to take him over Tony Romo, which I didn't with one of the callers. However, Matt Stafford, 33 of 48, 488, only the one touchdown and two interceptions. But that play at the end of the game, you want to talk about just manning up, having good football sense in the heat of the moment, to have the guts to do that. If you come up short, if something squirrely happens, the game's over. Having the smarts to recognize it, that you are going to have an easy dive into the end zone, and having the guts to execute it, that is deserving of our first game ball to me.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, yeah, that was just good heads-up football. As simple as that. I mean, it was kind of like akin to Dan Marino's fake,
right?
You know, fake spike and then throws a touchdown pass. But Matt Stafford just
and you've seen Peyton Manning do it, but here's the difference. Dan Marino does that and it doesn't work. He's Dan Marino. He earned it. Peyton Manning, same thing. Matt Stafford does that. That's a little bit gutsy because Dan Marino, just historically and reputation-wise, Dan Marino and Peyton Manning, he ain't. To have the guts to do it, that just impresses me. I like that, just manning up and getting it done, going out and winning a football game, throwing all the worst-case scenario out, which is what we do in the NFL with all these stupid timeouts before last-second field goals and all this nonsense. Everything told you, protocol told you to spike it, set up, and throw that jump ball to Calvin Johnson and hope it worked out, which it probably would have. But just having the guts and the brains to do it, I am really impressed.
Well, that is the – I kind of like to expand on the game ball. It's so unimaginative. The whole game plan of the Lions.
Yeah.
But you almost just have to tip your hat to him because we have this guy. You can put three guys on him. We're going to throw to him anyway, and you know what? You're not going to stop him.
You won't do it.
It
yeah.
doesn't matter. And this is what we do, and you still can't stop him.
And how many coaches in this league, I'll give their coach credit, how many coaches in this league would then – all right, Calvin, you're going to draw three. You're going to draw double, plus you're going to draw the safety. So I'm going to start running these stupid slants to this slot guy on the other side. We're going to do all this cute stuff because Calvin's taking up three men. He says, nah, you still can't stop him. So here's our game plan. Seven-step drop. Fling it within 10 yards of Calvin Johnson, and we'll see what the heck happens.
Yeah,
again, you say it's unimaginative, but it works.
Exactly.
And again, there's a coach manning up saying, no, I don't need all this gimmick. I don't need to make a name for myself as an offensive genius. I'm just going to do it. Stop me. Once you stop me, then I'll start coaching this team. Hey. Otherwise, that's all I need.
That's it. Exactly. My game ball is going to Andre Ellington, the only running back over 100 yards, 154 yards against the
Falcons. Well, Stacy got 100 last night.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Yes, I beg to be different there, but you're right. But 154 yards, a touchdown, you know, added a couple little short receptions, but just a fine game. for the Arizona Cardinals, and albeit Atlanta with not that big, great of a defense by any stretch, their offense is way out of sync, and I'm sure we'll be getting stinky socks when it comes to some of that.
Yeah. Does it mean anything going forward to you?
Which?
Ellington.
Oh, I think he's the guy. Much more dynamic than Mendenhall, and I think that's the running back they've been looking for.
Here's a guy I'm playing in the slot from here on out. He's had success as the two guy behind Mendenhall and has had more sex. Oh, my goodness, more.
Maybe
success.
Some of that, too. I don't know.
Well, after that game Sunday, I'm sure he has. But more success than Rashard Mendenhall, even when both were playing in the game. And I think he showed – now, a lot of it came on the big run. You can't throw that out, but you also have to factor it in. But he's a weapon in the passing game, so in a PPR format. Ellington, I think, is emerging as the number one fantasy guy, and I think he's a legitimate flex play at this point.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
All right, to the smelly socks, to what we do best after the mother of all Freudian slips here on the show. I got to throw it out. We already talked about him, Rick, but I'm just, he's top of my list. I've got to say it. Tom Brady, Rick, 13 for 22, a buck 66, a touchdown and a pick. Somehow they keep winning, but this guy has become fantasy poison.
I agree. I was going to write him down, but I just knew you were he was going to be your first sticky sock, and I didn't even bother. And I agree 100%. It's murder. The league of consequence that you and I talk about a lot, there's a guy in our league. He walked out of that draft, thought he had a fine team.
We all did.
Had Tom Brady, Ray Rice, David Wilson, Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Pretty nice foundation, everybody
solid
thought.
Coming out of the draft.
That is... It, like you said, it fantasy poisons some of these guys, and Brady's a root of a lot of
it. I have
right
a team
there.
Like that. It's our listener league, our 10-team listener league we had
night
of the draft. I've Ray Rice, Larry Fitzgerald. There was a third guy. I'm blanking on who it is now. We've got so many leagues, but there's teams like that where you just draft well, and this is what you wind up with.
Yeah, you can't hit all the time.
But here's my problem with Tom Brady going back to him, Rick. This stat line's become all too familiar. I'm actually impressed he threw more completions than incompletions, which had been an issue lately. And he actually did manage to find the end zone. Rick, he had all his weapons back last week. Amendola was there and finished the game. Gronkowski's back, albeit these guys coming off injury may be a step slow. What we kept saying is bide your time, sit tight. Once he gets his weapons back, they're going to be back to the old Patriots. I don't know what's going on. It can't be the game plan, I don't think. I don't know what the issue is. But this cat, with all his weapons back, he puts together that type of performance against what's not one of the most stellar defenses in the NFL. A good defense, but certainly should be able to perform against them. And he was just atrocious.
Yeah, maybe they are back to the old Patriots.
Yeah, they're winning. They're winning. Maybe this is a Super Bowl winning team now.
Yeah, they just made a trade, and the name slipped me for a defensive tackle.
Oh, yeah, I'd have to look that back
on the trade deadline today to try to shore up that defensive line.
Yeah, see, that defense isn't very good, Rick. They're banged up. They're hurt. Will fork out. They're missing those guys.
But they're winning, and that's the thing. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, they're making enough plays.
Sapaga was something like that from the Eagles defensive tackle.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's certainly not a humongous deal, but they're making a little moves to try to shore that up a little bit. They're making enough plays on offense. You know, that touchdown catch to Aaron Dobson, and, you know, they went on to win. And they're, what are they, 6-2?
Yeah, 6-2, a stranglehold on that division. You know, Buffalo's a scrappy little team, but they're not ready to compete yet. No. The Jets, they do what they did against the Patriots last week.
Yeah, and then you had the Dolphins. Everybody thought they was going to be the competition for the Patriots this year, and they're failing miserably so far.
Hey, completely off topic before you give your first stinky sock, what did you think of Golden Tate's antics last night?
It's Golden Tate. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
I liked it.
Arrogant.
I liked
big deal.
I liked it. Well, I really did. We were making a big fuss about it. But clearly there was something going on, and that is the biggest trash-talking secondary on the planet.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And so there was some back and forth going on there.
And look, I mean,
is it classless? Maybe. Yeah, I get it, but I like it. Hey, I beat you. You made a stupid play, and I beat you. Here I go. Watch me. I have no issue with that. I'm tired of, it's Bush League. I know Gruden was losing his mind last night, and probably as a coach that's going to be your reaction.
Well,
you don't want that distraction. But, Rick, I know I've said it on the show. I love that kind of stuff.
I don't mind the stuff. I know where you're coming from, and I know where Gruden's coming from. the coaches are thinking more logically as repercussions. Okay, I get a cheap shot. I'm taking it on somebody.
Yeah.
He doesn't want injuries. I get.
That's fair.
All that because it'll happen. Let's face it. These are young men out there, got a lot of testosterone, a lot of money. If one of them can do the antics going down on an offensive play, then there's somebody somewhere that's going to make a dirty play on defense.
That's fair.
And cause somebody injury. I see exactly where the coaches are coming from. So, no, I have no issue. They'll handle that. Pete Carroll's a class guy, and he's a player's coach, and they'll handle that without any issue.
But my response to that is always, if you don't want me doing that, if you don't want me talking, if you don't want me running up the score, stop me. Don't let me beat you like that. You had an easy interception. Where are you at?
Yeah.
Stop me. I couldn't do that if you made the play. So
right. That's
where I have no issue.
Oh, no. From your point to the other team, I agree 100%. Like I said, I'm talking from Pete Carroll.
Yeah, makes sense from a coach's point of view.
If Golden Tate on the same thing says, okay, you don't want me to do this, coach, too bad, then I have an issue with
different.
It.
That's
but
different.
If he says, hey, we need to tone this down, I don't need anybody getting hurt from a cheap shot, okay, coach, and it's fine.
And I think they pointed it out on the broadcast, and I think Pete Carroll said it well. He just said, we don't do that here.
Right.
That's where the line is. All right, coach says this is done, then it's done.
Right.
I have no issue with Tate doing it, but from the coach's standpoint, from Carroll's standpoint, I think he handled it well. He didn't scream, carry on. Mm-hmm. He'd probably get fined behind the scenes in the kangaroo court.
Well, it's like
we don't do that
the
here.
Wonderful
good enough.
Story of Ron Woodson from his first interception, taking it for a touchdown. You know, going down, he's doing the prance,
holding the ball.
He's coming into the down to the sideline. He's telling the story. He's all happy. He's waiting on somebody to come up and slap him on the back. And Joe Green was a coach at the time. He walks up and goes, "We don't do that here."
Right.
And
good enough.
The guy
that's
says,
the culture
"What'd
you
say to him?" He goes, "I didn't say anything. I didn't do it anymore.
I was done." Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, back on task here, a smelly sauce.
Smelly sauce. I took one of Jim's old moldy.
Oh, my. These things are nasty, too.
Oh, man.
I don't know what you got to go. You might want to see a doctor, Jim.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got these old tong things, you know, I didn't touch it, but anyway.
And we boiled them, and it didn't make a difference.
No.
Like, I mean, there was a pot of stalks on Briggs' stove when I walked in tonight. It was horrific.
A close game. 31-30. We all know the thing. Jason Witten, two catches.
Where's he at?
15 yards.
Where's he at?
I don't know if it gives Witten a stinky sock or Romo or the offensive coordinator from not using the most prolific tight end,
right. You
know,
catch-wise. 15 catch a game guy
sometimes. I don't know what's going on there.
He's completely disappeared. Are they keeping him in the block? I don't know what's going on. I might actually have to sit down and watch some game film and see what Jason Witten's doing. You know, two catches, 15 yards, like you said. This has become a very common stat line for Jason Witten. They're not looking his way. This is a security blanket for a team that lost their inside guy in Miles Austin. They have this little Beasley kid who cracks me up watching him run around, getting the job done. You think the way they're playing, Jason Witten would feature in this offense, and he's been a disaster.
What, 118 catches last year, somewhere
right.
in that neighborhood, I know. And this is coming back from a ruptured spleen where he missed some games.
Yeah, and put up that big year. I don't know where he's gone. Tony Gonzalez is the same way. I actually had these three guys lumped together as a smelly sock to these historically good tight ends. Witten, Tony Gonzalez, 2 for 36. Gronk for 2 for 27. And what became the season of the tight end last year, these guys have all taken a huge step back.
Yeah, I agree. It's strange. Now, Gonzalez, I mean, I can almost understand Atlanta. They are such a mess. But Dallas has been pretty prolific. I mean, there's Witten, 37 catches for 403 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had a 100-yard game, I believe, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so most of it came in one game.
Exactly.
Yes, I don't know what to make of it there, but he's a guy you almost have to be combing the waiver wire looking for a better option. All right, Rick, back to the game balls. I got to give one to Stephen Ridley, Rick, a guy we wrote off, we pulled the plug on. 14 carries, 79 yards, and a touchdown. And I'll tell you what, that number would have been a lot bigger if Belichick would have given him the ball. That's really what I want to talk about here. Why do you insist on giving 5, 6, 8 carries to LeGarrette Blount every week and giving Bolden goal line carries? Clearly, Stephen Ridley is the best running back on that team for all his faults and all his struggles. When he gets an opportunity, you saw it last year where he got but mainly all the carries. The man produces, and for whatever reason, Belichick insists on spreading it out amongst three guys.
Yeah, and look, I'm no Bill Belichick, that's for sure, but I would think if I had the ball second and goal on the one or there even the foot line, it's going to go to LeGarrette Blount, if not Stephen Ridley, and not Bolden.
Right.
But it seemed like LeGarrette Blount was getting the midfield carries when you would think Bolden would be out there to give Ridley a blow. But and Ridley should be getting the lion's share.
Yeah, why isn't he getting 80% of those carries? Yeah, there's no question about it. You saw it last year. You saw it this week when he actually got the opportunity. I don't understand what's going on there, what the insistence of is doing that. But where the problem comes in from a fantasy standpoint, you know what he's capable of, and if he gets the 14 carries, he's going to produce his heck, this year, 14 for 79 and a touch, that's number one running back production. Normally that'd be number two RB production, but this season it's number one. I can still never feel comfortable plugging him in my lineup. I don't know when the week's coming he's going to get four carries. You just don't know, and I don't understand. I don't know if Mike Shanahan and Belichick have been hanging out in the offseason. I know Bill Belichick doesn't care about my fantasy team, but I think Stephen Ridley makes his football team better.
Yeah, and I don't know what else to say about that. It's very strange why they rode him last year. I mean, that's what really bugs
me. That's what made him a second-round pick this year in fantasy football.
And we have the Shanahanigans. They rode Alfred Morris last year. Not doing it this year. Same with Ridley this year. I don't know. Yeah, they have dinner together and discuss this. I don't know.
Could be.
Let's really screw these owners.
Yeah, maybe I think these guys just hate fantasy football and they want to bring us down. And, hey, if I can win games and tank your fantasy football squad, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, but the Redskins aren't 6-2.
Well, no, but I'm talking more about the Patriots. We're now Belichick saying,
exactly,
I hate you fantasy jerks, so I'm going to take you out and I'm going to win games anyhow.
That's true. All right, we're going to move on to another game ball here. And you actually had him as a sit last week, so it kind of really stuck out at me.
Not, yeah, I know where
really
you're going.
Not really to get you, but just a horrible day the whole way around. It just got waxed. But Harry Douglas, 12 catches, 121 yards. I mean, it didn't have a score, but in a PPR format, that's still a heck of a day.
Yeah, 12 grabs. That's what stuck out to me. I know they were playing from behind most of the game. But look, my reason for sitting him was he was facing a more straight-up defense, and he was going up against Peterson. It didn't matter. The kid just went off. I think this guy is a number one fantasy receiver from here on out, at least until Roddy White comes back. He's just flat getting the job done. I don't know what to say. I'd have gone all in. I'd have bet cold money that Harry Douglas was going to struggle this week because I believe we both thought that Atlanta was going to struggle as a team, and we were right.
Yeah.
That Matt Ryan was going to struggle. And so by proxy, Harry Douglas, especially going up against the likes of Peterson, was going to get shut down. And he just didn't. 12 catches. You don't see that amount of receptions every week.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't down on Douglas as much as you were because I actually picked Atlanta to beat Arizona. So I thought, okay, they're going to have some offense. Clearly not the case there, but Harry Douglas was the sole bright spot on Atlanta.
Yeah, no question about it. So big surprise, and that'll be the last time I recommend sitting him, that's for certain. So moving on to another smelly sock, Rick. This is a guy, we talked a good bit about it on Sunday. As long as Danny Amendola is healthy, Julian Edelman must be on your bench. Only 2 grabs, 7 yards. The 7 yards doesn't surprise me. I'm just surprised he didn't do it on 7 catches. With Amendola in there, Julian Edelman is not playable. If and when, and it might be happening right now, he could have fallen down the stairs or something. You never know with Amendola. When he goes back out, get Edelman back in your flex. But when Amendola's playing, Julian Edelman is not in any of my fantasy lineups.
Yeah, and that's with Amendola having a very pedestrian day
The whole offense was horrific.
No question about that,
but he's not going to get the targets. It's just Amendola and him are sort of interchangeable. And when Amendola's healthy, Edelman's targets go down. And he was only viable in a PPR format. He had 10 catch games with under 70 yards. It's just who he is and what he does. If he's not getting those targets, Gronkowski being back doesn't help him. He's just not going to get all those receptions.
No, and what Amendola seems to be doing more than anything
is getting hurt.
Well, okay, second.
All right, okay.
That's always the most. Him and Miles Austin, you know.
Having a competition.
Yeah, real competition. But it seems to.
They both ought to live in bubbles, bubble boys. Do they still do that? Do they still put kids in bubbles?
I don't know.
They should.
They could. They could roll them around.
We should do that a bit on the show. We'll get a bubble, and I'll do a show from the bubble.
Can I put a lock on it?
Well, probably. I assume the zipper's on the outside. I don't know that, though. You don't trust a kid.
Can I cut the air off to it?
Well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be able to talk.
That'd be awesome.
Well, who's going to get all this equipment going?
Yeah, my kid's smart.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you really don't need me, except for entertainment value.
But what Amendola does is actually makes Aaron Dobson more effective. Yeah, even Kemble Tompkins, even though he had kind of a quiet day. I mean, look, New England was totally quiet.
Yeah, it's just an awful game.
But I really like Tompkins and Dobson going forward in the next couple of years. Granted, Tom Brady's getting older, so a lot's going to really ride on who seems to step into his shoes. Because I tell you what, this is a guy that they're just not replacing him. Yeah, I mean, who do they have?
Oh, I can't even remember now. I'm blanking on it.
There you go. I mean, you know, there's just no really replacement. I mean, actually, you saw Pittsburgh make a move. I don't know how serious they are as the heir apparent, you know, in this draft. But New England is not getting anybody to take his place that I can see. And
Ryan Mallett. That's
yeah, Mallett.
Ryan
that's right.
Mallett.
Yeah, I don't know why I was.
I don't think
on Mallett.
He's the next incarnation
Brady.
Of Tom Brady.
No, I don't think so.
Then again, for a time they didn't believe Tom Brady was the next incarnation of Drew Bledsoe either. That's, so yeah, I guess you just never know.
That's true. I guess I'm not going to ever sell them short. He may walk in and be the next Ryan Mallett.
Look at the success Matt Cassel had in 1 year there when Tom Brady was down and the limited success he had otherwise. I think there's a lot to be said for the Belichick factor there.
Yeah, that's
even though
true.
He's a jerk and doesn't care about my fantasy football team.
No, he doesn't care about your fantasy football team. But I'm going to go with a nice stinky sock. Everybody was awaiting his return. And I was all excited about him coming back. Yeah, 11 rushes for 6 yards.
Wow.
And another 3 catches for 7 yards. Steven Jackson, just a horrible debut back from an injury.
Jammed that thing right up under that shield he wears on his helmet and just stick it in there and let him ride with it for a week or two. Here's my concern with Steven Jackson. All right, it's a game back from injury. They played horrific. The team played badly. It's not all on Steven Jackson. That stat line isn't real far off of the stat lines he put up before he went out with the injury, Rick. Oh, I got the stop sign.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt you a bit. It's just
you do.
Great comment in the chat room.
Okay.
Talking about the bubbles, boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Throw one of his. Jim Struve wants me to throw one of his socks
no,
in the bucket.
No.
That's a great idea.
Going
I think
too
that's
far.
What we'll do.
Is it Jim? See a doctor, please. Good Lord.
All right. Anyway, give it back to your story.
What were we talking about again? I forget.
You were talking about Steven Jackson.
Oh, yeah. That stat line isn't real far off of the stat lines he was putting up before he went out with the injury. He never really seemed to adapt to that Atlanta offense. This is a guy I was so high on. I think he was struggling in a bad St. Louis offense. You get to a dynamic offense. That offense hasn't been dynamic. He wasn't good before he got hurt. He struggled before he got hurt. So I'm not willing to completely write that performance off as a bad team performance plus coming back from an extended injury. I'm not ready to write that off. Steven Jackson's a guy, he's going to be on my bench until I see something different. He's going to have to work his way off my bench.
Yeah, I agree. And, well, you know, it's hard to really put a judgment on him in this offense. I mean, the first game of the year, he had 77 yards rushing and 45 yards receiving. He got hurt in the second game and left, and he hasn't been back since. So, I think Steven Jackson is still Steven Jackson, but their offense is not very good.
Yeah, and look, you don't want to put a lot on the preseason. But I know he had struggles in the preseason. It just hasn't worked out as dynamic as I thought it would. So let's move back up, Rick, now that I've gotten that horrific sock out of my bubble. Let's go back up to a game ball. I got to give one to MJD. I think he's a guy we need to talk about. We basically took him and Chris Johnson and said they are on your bench until future notice. Play the likes of Zach Stacy or some of these guys over him. Look, 19 carries, 75 yards, 6 catches, 47 yards, gets over 100 total yards. This is a couple games in a row now, Rick, where he hasn't been big, but for what the running back position's doing this year, he's been a legitimate low-end RB2. Is it time to rethink the MJD? Unfortunately, I was really hoping he'd get traded today. Unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I think it's time to start talking about MJD as a number 2 fantasy running back.
Well, especially when we're still in the heat of the bye weeks, I think he's certainly going to fit into lineups, and I'm tempted to put him in a couple of my leagues.
He's been sitting in on the pine for you for a few weeks now.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, I'm certainly thinking about sticking him in, and I probably will at least two leagues I can think of right now. So, yeah, I think he's definitely low-end RB2 or flex spot, no doubt about it, especially in a PPR because
– yeah.
He like you said, he's catching out of the backfield and over 100 total yards. He had 18 fantasy points in PPR format.
Right, not huge numbers. He's not finding the end zone. He's not breaking 100 on either end of it. But in total and in a PPR format, 4, 5, 6 grabs is becoming pretty common for him. You don't want to leave those 15 fantasy points on your bench every single week.
No, I agree. If that's going to be his norm, which is more what we expected out of him, you know, coming into this year, even though Jacksonville historically is bad, I was expecting this more or less this kind of workman type attitude, or not attitude, but performances. And maybe he's starting to get into the groove a little bit.
All right, Rick, we've got about 2 minutes left where we got to start getting out, as we got to get out on time for the Armed Forces Radio Network. So what do we got? Give a game ball real quick and we'll get out of here.
All right, I've got a lot of game balls I want. Listen, I want to give some honorable mention game balls because we can't cover everybody. Of course, you know, Megatron gets the brass game ball. But honorable mentions I want to give to Drew Brees and Andy Dalton, both with 5 touchdown passes, over 300 yards. Darren McFadden with a couple touchdowns against Pittsburgh. But I want to give my last game ball to the Arizona defense.
Wow.
We talked about them. You know, they create havoc. They turn the ball over. And, you know, 4 picks on Matt Ryan. They didn't allow them to run. They didn't allow them to do anything. And that's what this defense does. If Ellington can continue to run even 100 yards a game or thereabouts as a team, the Cardinals can do that. They can create a lot of noise in that division out there. Because this defense, if they're not on the field 40 minutes out of the 60, then they're a lot tougher team.
Yeah, that's a defense you don't hear come up a lot in fantasy circles, but this is, especially during bye weeks, a defense you can grab up. They're going to turn the ball over. They play good special teams with Peterson returning the ball there. This is a team you should be playing. If you drafted the Dolphins, were a team a lot of people were high on, there's people still out there riding the Ravens as a fantasy defense. The Arizona Cardinals is a fantasy defense I think you need to be looking at.
Yeah, I do too, and I get a game ball.
All right, Rick. Well, we are slap out of time. We're going to get ourselves out of here on time today, so thank you to everyone who listened to the Tuesday Night Blitz, the penultimate. I looked that up. That does mean the one before the last.
Yeah,
or
it does.
The penultimate.
I wasn't
Tuesday
questioning
Night
the
Blitz.
Meaning, but I couldn't remember if it was the next to the last one or if it was the last one. This one, but we have one more Tuesday night show.
We have one more, and then we'll not be on the 11th. We will be on the Thursday. That would be the 13th, Thursday the 13th when we move.
Actually, it's the 14th. I think Monday is the 11th.
Oh, you're right.
12, 13, yeah, so this would be the
Thursday, week of
the
11th, Thursday the 14th. We make the move to Thursday night to make sure we're providing the freshest information to our listeners on the Armed Forces Radio Network. It'd be a little, they're airing Saturday. It'd be a little stale, this Tuesday show, come Saturday.
Yeah, and we don't want to do that, and we want to bring up the, like we said, the freshest information and the most recent starts that we can provide.
Right.
So.
And so speaking of fresh information, we will be back Sunday morning with the Inside Slant, answering all of your last-minute lineup questions via email, via Twitter, via your phone calls, everywhere there. We'll be there 10 a.m. Eastern to 11:30 on the Inside Slant. I'm getting a little tongue-tied there.
You do that.
So that's it. Thank you to everyone to listening to the penultimate Tuesday Night Blitz. I'm going to use that word a lot.
Well, it's the last time you can use it.
True. So check out the new look site, the newly named site, AsylumFantasySports.com, AsylumFantasySports at gmail.com, at AsylumFootball on Twitter, and heard worldwide. Thank you again to the Armed Forces Radio Network. Till Sunday, we'll see you.
Take care. Beneath my toes, the beat's getting
is a feeling and a deep feeling. I believe in the faith that grows, and the full line goes can make me cry. When I'm with you, I feel like I could die, and that would be alright, alright. And when the plague came in, she said she was crossing. The velvet description to see what shifts on the earth to feel alive. And now I'm struggling to survive those days you were wearing that velvet dress. You're the priestess, I must confess, those little red panties, they pass the test. Let's look around the belly, face down on the mattress one. Baby, I want something else. Not listening when you say